This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
Purple Daily is daily Vikings entertainment. We just want the Vikings to win a Super Bowl before we die.
I will ride with this group.
Seriously, man. Please.
And away we go.
How are we feeling? How are we feeling, gentlemen? Live on the Purple Daily YouTube channel after one of the most exciting nights in Vikings history.
I think it was a home run night. I think it was a home run. It's sort of interesting in how they got there, but the J.J. McCarthy pick alone, I think we would be extremely excited about. And when you then trade up from 23 to 17 and get Dallas Turner, who clearly should make a difference on that defense with Brian Flores, I think it's very, very difficult. As much as I complained about Kwesi's first draft, I am the 180 of that this time. I think it was a hell of a night in which it worked out really well.
People want to know. So Declan put a tweet out, a picture of his late night nightcap while he was doing post-production. How are we feeling here? How much sleep are we on, Dex?
I'm probably really only on like 6-7 hours of sleep, and I saw other ones being like, I bet Dex has the shakes and he's hungover. I'm sleep deprived, that's for sure. That's the thing of, and I know I'm preaching the choir to both of you, getting older, like if I only get the 6 hours of 5-6 hours of sleep, even if I just had a couple or if I had no drinks at all, I'm like, God, what the hell happened? What did I do to myself? I hate it's easily my least favorite part about getting old.
I've now gotten into my late 30s here, and I noticed the difference between 6 and 7 hours of sleep and 3 versus 4 drinks.
It's crazy. Mm. Yeah, totally.
Just 100%. Ridiculous. People are wondering how Thor's doing as well this morning. We will bring Thor Nystrom will join the show here.
I think he's still trying to clean up. His makeup was running last night probably because he was so emotional. You know, McCarthy had to call him and be, thank you so much for what you've done for my career.
Okay, we should ask him when he comes on, because he's not married. He doesn't have like he hasn't celebrated like the birth of a child or like, you know, he's a football guy.
Yep.
Was last night the greatest night of Thor Nystrom's life? What do you think he's gonna say?
He's got to be damn near close. If not, right?
I think it's top three.
Other question. How aware of Thor Nystrom is J.J. McCarthy?
Oh, I bet he's
The clip from us went viral. And, you know, Thor was just on Colin Cowherd's podcast.
Yeah, but that's...
So, like, there's no way that J.J. McCarthy is not aware that this guy in Minnesota was absolutely, you know, who's respected. That's the most important thing. Was pounding the table for him.
We got to get JJ on the show. We don't do a ton of guests on this show, but we're definitely good for like a once a year Kevin O'Connell. We need to get JJ and Thor on the show together. We should surprise. He's not in here yet, is he? We should surprise Thor. Can we work with like some handlers behind the scenes here? And we'll say, Thor, we'd love you to come on the podcast and then like spring JJ.
I'll work on it.
That would be fun.
I'll work my people.
Okay. Yeah, the only thing is we couldn't. Because typically we're really good at teasing good guests. So if we said we're going to have like a guest on the show, that could get back to Thor. So we'd have to be very tight-lipped on this. There's no announcement. There's no hype for it. It just all of a sudden you pop on an episode of Purple Daily and there's JJ and Thor.
If we could get McCarthy alone, selfishly, I'd be like, awesome. If Thor doesn't find out in the meantime, that's great. If Thor finds out, it spoils it a little bit, but
let's try and make this happen. Let's put out some feelers here today.
So I'll make some calls, actually.
If JJ knows that his number one fan in the entire world, like even more than his own family, just wants to talk to him on a podcast.
No one drove his stock more.
Yeah, I think the minute that Thor's rant went viral, you saw like the odds changing a couple months ago.
I believe the exact words were, let's stop the JJ McCarthy slander.
Yeah. And it did stop. It did stop. Hey, before we get started here, we're going to bring Thor in. We'll get to some of your feedback. Just thank you guys for whether you watched all night on YouTube last night on the Purple Daily YouTube channel or whether you were inside the Fillmore in Minneapolis, the sold out Fillmore. What a fun night that was, man. The energy, the crowd. At one point, you had like 1,400 people inside the Fillmore chanting Judd's name. Judd.
Yeah. Judd. I got home and Dawn's like, were they chanting your name? I'm like, yeah, they were.
Right, honey. Stock's going up.
And then her next question was, why? I said, yeah, you had to be there to get it. But yeah, what a great crowd. And that's now three times that we've done events at increasingly bigger places. And every one of them, I mean, you guys are unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's always good for us. It's like, oh, man, we want a bigger venue, but is this a stretch to do a concert venue? And you get a little nervous and you guys just deliver. It's the best listener group, the best viewer group, wherever you consume this podcast. Look how quickly our great graphics department put these together here. Scornorth.com/shop for your official Purple Daily JJ to JJ merchandise. That's scornorth.com/shop. Oh, look at that. There's a little QR code on your screen if you'd like to pick up some merch. And Judd, let's shout out our friends at Quick Trip as well, helping to fuel us. And boy, do we need it today, unlike any other day.
So if you attended the draft party last night, and let's say you're driving home and you're like, you know what I need? I need a late night snack. I need gasoline. Anything that you could possibly need, even a cup of Karuba coffee, is available at Quick Trip. You are looking at the various choices there because you can get dinner. You know, if you're going home tonight and the gas tank's near E, which it shouldn't be, but it probably is for some. I hate when you guys do that. But if the gas tank's near E and you're like, I'm hungry too, I don't really want to go grocery shopping, right? Quick Trip is the place to stop. We're talking about milk, bread, produce, whatever it is, Quick Trip has it. It's quick, easy, and they always get you great value. Quick Trip, make sure you make them the one place that you do stop.
Yeah. I think here's my biggest takeaway off last night. I was nerding out to the consensus big board. I did a little, who is it? Arif Hassan has one of them. There's another like mock draft website that I found, and they take all of the big boards around the internet from Mel Kiper to PFF, and they just make a consensus big board. JJ McCarthy and Dallas Turner were the 8th and 9th best players on the consensus big board at the two most premium positions, quarterback and position that terrorizes quarterback, right? Mm-hmm. So the Vikings landed the 8th and 9th best players in the draft with the 10th and 17th picks. Now, I understand that they had to give up in different trades some mid-round picks to get there, which, boy, the draft value chart nerds are in full force this morning. Well, if you do the math, on the draft value charts, the Vikings actually got kind of fleeced on these trades. Oh.
And do you remember 3 years ago now, how happy those same folks were? And I was why are you trading back here? Like, take the best player. Take the best player. It's 14.
But you don't understand.
You know what? You can get Quasi has done a 180, because if you saw his quotes from last night, it was, if you like aggressive drafting and like, let's go get players that we're almost certain that we can win with. His quotes last night were beautiful.
Yeah, this is where like analytics nerds, and by the way, Quasi, he even prefaced the quote you're talking about with, I am a spreadsheet analytics nerd. Yep. But sometimes you have to take, as he said, the Clark Kent glasses off and just be Superman and go get someone who can play. And now, if they're wrong, okay, then we can talk about how bad the trades were and the whiff draft picks or whatever. But if you're right on a quarterback and a monster edge rusher, it's the deathbed test. Are you going to be on your deathbed looking back at the end of your life and say, boy, I wish I hadn't taken that Hawaiian vacation that was a little spendier than our budget allowed for, yeah. Right? Yep. If they nail these picks, oh, man, I know we won 3 Super Bowls with J.J. McCarthy and Dallas Turner, which would be amazing, but, man, we had to give up the extra fourth round, the third and the fourth round pick if you look at the Rich Hill draft value chart.
Oh. Well, and also when you're talking about a quarterback in particular, I think the conversation changes completely. Like that's one that the Turner pick I love, and I have no problem with that trade. The McCarthy thing though, where they got him, to me, that's where, and who knows, Kwesi might have said, hey, let's just stand pat. McCarthy is almost fallen to us, and perhaps O'Connell's like, no man, we got to go to 10. I don't care how it happened. I care it happened.
Jesus.
Drewski chimes in the YouTube comment section. Only virgins didn't love the Vikings draft.
Wow.
Well, I mean, if you guys do the math.
Wow.
People are firing on all cylinders Friday morning.
Well, it's a Friday morning, and the Vikings just got two first-round picks for the first time in, what, almost 20 years?
Well, and the beauty of it, too, is we talked about this when the Drake May pick was made by the Patriots. I feel bad for Drake May this morning because the Patriots are in no position to patiently develop him the way that he needs to be developed. They have a first-year defensive head coach. They have no weapons of any note.
So actually, let's go through 6 QBs taken first round, right? Let's go through that test. I love this test. Because off the top of my head, I agree with you. I think Drake May is being put into a potentially, depending on what they do now as far as playing him, terrible position. I actually feel a little bit bad for Michael Penix. I mean, he has now been drafted by a team that just signed a quarterback to a huge contract.
Mm-hmm.
The Falcons are talking about, oh, he can sit. It's the Green Bay plan. He can sit for 4 years. Dude is not young. Like he's not. J.J. McCarthy's 21.
Yeah.
Michael Penix is what, 25-ish?
He's going to be 24 the first week in May.
Caleb Williams is a winner because I think what the Bears are doing looks really impressive. On Jaden Daniels, I don't know for sure because I don't know how that's going to play out. But I think among those six, and Bo Nix, who the hell knows. But I think among those six, the two that I feel are like, hey, put into pretty advantageous situations, the Bears and the Vikings. And I actually will default to the Vikings because, if nothing else, they play their games indoors.
Well, I think I'm going to say that Michael Penix is in a weird situation, but he's also in a pretty good situation in that it's a franchise it's usually competitive. They're not, the Falcons aren't like an embarrassing franchise.
I mean, he might be forced to sit for like 3 years.
That's fine.
At his age, I'd want to play after a couple of years, but.
Okay. But like, he's not 40, dude. Like he's going to be 20. What did I say? 24 on May 8th. So he gets to sit behind Kirk Cousins for at least a year, maybe even 2 years. And they've got some weapons. I'm just saying, like, the Drake May situation is, I think that the Patriots drafting Drake May could mean that Drake May's a bust. Whereas the Vikings drafting J.J. McCarthy, hey, dude, we don't need you to save our franchise and be the next Tom Brady. We just need you to come in here, maybe not even play for a year, learn behind Sam Darnold, under Kevin O'Connell, Josh McCown, and build a rapport with Justin Jefferson, who's about to sign a massive contract.
Yep. And you do have a coach where that's a situation where you're going to be thrust into a position with a coach that is going to do everything he can to help you. It's not that the Bears won't help, but Eberflus, their head coach at the end of the day, is a defensive guy. I think the Penix thing is dysfunction. I'm sorry.
It's weird. It is super weird.
Kirk Cousins ain't going to help him. Kirk Cousins. And I mean, that's fine. But it also doesn't help. Like, think about what McCarthy, think about the room, right? They talk about quarterback rooms. J.J. McCarthy is entering what looks to be a phenomenal room. You've got Sam Darnold knows his lot in life, right? And yeah. And plus he's been through hell and back. So he's probably going to look at the stability here or San Francisco and be like, this is great. Atlanta, you're being thrown into a room as a young QB. You don't really know why you were drafted, probably. And Kirk Cousins privately ain't exactly going to bend over backwards to make sure your life is easy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, man, I mean, I feel like we could just do like 5 hours on the last 3 months of Kirk Cousins and how this all ended up. But I'm glad that it's their problem and not our problem.
Netflix has that special coming next July.
Yeah.
Catch it.
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
Okay, everyone, there is a man who saw this coming from weeks and months away, a man who told all of you Purple Daily listeners, viewers, and Vikings fans, don't sleep on JJ McCarthy. Not only is he an option for the Vikings at 11 or around 11, but he may be a guy that you have to trade up for by the time the process is all said and done. And he was 100% right. From Fantasy Pros and Betting Pros, Thor Nystrom, ladies and gentlen, welcome to Purple Daily this morning.
Oh, he's got
sir.
The jersey. Well, he's, oh, got the, he's got the homemade McCarthy jersey.
He's just,
oh my God, look at all the work
tape,
you
dude.
Did.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got him. We got our guy, and the fact, going beyond that, the fact that we got McCarthy and Dallas Turner while keeping the 2025 round one pick is absolutely ridiculous. I woke up this morning and could not believe it. What a night. What a night.
It was like the best dream ever.
What a night.
Hold on a second here. We got to backtrack a bit.
Yes.
Because of your A-job duties, you could not, unfortunately, join us last night. So let's go back. When this all transpired, I got to know, was there a box of Kleenex involved as far as the tears coming down your cheeks? Did you get emotional?
lots of things going through my head. And like to start, like before that, the Falcons pick. So the way it was happening with us, we had a live show and I was getting fed the picks by my boss on a spreadsheet because I had the feed on the TV, but it was a little bit behind.
Yeah.
So my eyes were going down when the Falcons picked and I got to quarterback in the position thing. And I was like, oh my God. And then I looked over, so my heart sunk because I was like, they stole JJ from us after they signed Cousins. And then I seen the Penix thing and it was like, I couldn't wrap my head around that. And then obviously then the Vikings getting JJ McCarthy was absolutely incredible. Abject joy, obviously, was my reaction to that. You were just hoping at that point that they could box out the Broncos. We had talked about this scenario. It was the thing we talked about literally on the last episode. The, what do we call it? The calling the Giants bluff gambit.
Yeah.
We talked about the, for weeks of, Kwesi, you are reading the other 31 poker players at the table, and if you could just accurately gauge the Giants' intentions, if they were not going to take the quarterback, that meant you would not have to trade to the 4 or the 5 slot. That is, he guessed that correctly, or he read that correctly. Master stroke by Kwesi. And then, like, I don't know if he knew that the Falcons were about to do something stupid, but he accurately read that as well. And then was able to box out the Broncos. It wasn't just a report. Peyton Manning, who is the Broncos organization, you know, is as close as you can get inside there, had come out the day before and said the Broncos love JJ McCarthy. Sean Payton had said publicly several times that they were looking to trade up for a quarterback. I think it's pretty clear that Bo Nix was their break glass in case of emergency if we were not able to do that for the Broncos. And so the Vikings trading up that one slot, that is a no-brainer to box out the Broncos. Incredible turn of events.
Yeah. Dude, we have so many questions for you. You've had an amazing week and an amazing run here. I think we should just take a minute to give Thor his flowers here. The JJ McCarthy stuff. The awesome work that you've done. This is your first full year at Fantasy Pros, taking a step up on their platform, landing 40 minutes with Colin Cowherd one-on-one on his podcast this week, dude. convincing him why he should be higher on J.J. McCarthy as well?
J.J. McCarthy owes you a phone call, a FaceTime to say thank you, Thor.
So, yeah, dude, we just want to say awesome work by you over this stretch. And it's really cool to see the rest of the world also picking up on the great work of Thor Nystrom, dude. So we're super happy for you.
Thank you so much. But you guys know where my home is. You guys know my favorite guys to talk to. So don't think I've forgotten it.
Well, we appreciate that. Was last night a top three night in your life, Thor Nystrom?
I might need to get a little bit further out, but right now it sort of feels like that. Yeah.
So, okay, on Dallas Turner, let's talk about Dallas Turner, because yeah. I actually thought that the Falcons might take the first defensive player off the board at eight, and it might have been Dallas Turner. And it's funny because if you would have asked Vikings fans who were following mock drafts like 3 months ago, 2 months ago, hey, if they wind up with Dallas Turner and J.J. McCarthy, how would you feel about that? People would say, well, how is that even possible, right? Those are two. I mean, the consensus boards have those guys both as top 10 players, and you land those guys with the 10 and the 17. So we've talked a lot about J.J. McCarthy. Give us your take on Dallas Turner, the edge rusher.
So my take on the two guys, everybody knows I'm about as high as you can get on J.J. in comparison to the rest of the industry. But on the other end of it, I'm probably I don't look at everyone's rankings, but I would assume I'm on the lower end on Turner. So it probably qualitatively washes out as far as that goes. However, what I will, in terms of the sports books, to set this up contextually, Dallas Turner was the odds on favorite against the rest of the field to be the first defender taken off the board, period. Not the first edge defender. But the first defender, period, he was minus 120, 125, like as recently as like 48 hours before the draft to be the first defender off the board. Of course, everyone was just giving him to the Falcons. I would have suggested to Terry Fontenot, maybe do that with your pick instead of picking the six-year guy quarterback to back up Kirk Cousins. But anyway, I digress on that. But even so with Dallas Turner, so I had him edge three on my board, and I had him on my 500 I was pulling it up now. I had him one slot below on my 500 board where the Vikings end up taking him. I had him 18th. The Vikings end up taking him 17. And again, this is coming from a guy who rated him lower than dang near anyone in the industry. Nope. I can't quibble with the value, and everyone else thinks it's a smash value. That's the Dallas Turner one, right? Like, so even now, great value with that at an acute position of need. And by the way, a guy who is an awesome fit for what Flores likes to do, because that's the dude, pin the ears back, get after the quarterback. In the Flores system, you need to get to the quarterback real quick with the pressure. In those instances where he sends all the heat and then you leave the defensive backs on the islands, you know, he likes to do, we're either doing that or else we're dropping the guys back. You go the one way or the other. That's what Turner does. We're getting after the quarterback. There's some things that you need to do to flesh out his game. He has the high-octane athleticism in that package that he has with the super-duper long arms like that. The athleticism plays. You see him beating SEC offensive tackles with that athletic package. I think sometimes, and I will put it as a maybe nitpick, what was like, I saw him trying to leverage that too much and trying to run around SEC tackles for my liking. And in the NFL, the one move he has is with the long arm. He has super duper long arms. He's crazy long, and he does a good job with his long arm move, but he needs to have more pass rushing moves and more fluidly go through his counters when one gets shut down. Right now, he has the high octane stuff with the athleticism and then that one move. But we need some more moves, and we need to more fluidly have that plan when the first plan of attack gets shut down. But God does not make many people in that frame with those long arms that are as athletic as that kid. And we have seen the flashes against some of the SEC's best offensive tackles the past couple of years.
So how much do you project then? Because I do think that the draft can be difficult, because if the guy is wired right, he doesn't have the greatest technique. But if he's open to coaching, clearly that can help a lot. How much do you think that this is a good pick for the Vikings in the sense that you're now going to put him in a Brian Flores defense where he's going to get the proper coaching? Like, You described a guy to me that I would be very excited about if the technique was refined. So, like, as opposed to, let's say he was taken by a, you know, a franchise that didn't have that. Where does that impact or change your view? Because clearly this is a Brian Flores pick as well.
For sure. Yeah. And it definitely would have. I think that this is pretty close to the ideal one for Dallas Turner. It's both the fit as far as the working on that technique, but also a situation where he can be used in terms of the usage initially, right? Like, you want him used correctly initially and perhaps even situational specific. I don't know if early on, I might use him as a pass rusher and not have him on the field every single down as a rookie, or at least the first part of his rookie season, right? Like the first, I mean, him and JJ, it's possible those first 6 weeks that JJ that Darnold starts the first 6 weeks and that Turner is the situational pass rusher. But he's going to get after the quarterback. You're going to see some flash sacks with that kid. You might see a strip sack. Right. Like the run game stuff, setting the edge, and then that thing of fully fleshing out the pass rushing repertoire with him. If he fleshes that out and gets, you know, the pass rushing moves with the fluid counters on it. This is what I talked about with Leatu Latu that I like so much about him. He has the counter moves, but he so quickly shuffles between them. If the offensive tackle shuts it down, that is the one thing with Dallas Turner. If they teach him that thing, it is going to be really, really difficult to keep that guy out of the backfield. That is where he becomes a superstar.
Yeah, I think it's, man, this is where I think you just have to trust Brian Flores a little bit here, that obviously Kwesi is leaning on its collaboration, right? He loves to collaborate, and that's awesome. I think he's saying Kevin O'Connell, and we're going to get to what I think we have a pretty clear picture of what KOC's quarterback rankings were, and I have a thought on that. But I'm guessing on the defensive side, Kwesi goes to Brian Flores and says, hey, man, it's your system. You're our guy. You're going to be developing these players, so you tell me. And if Brian Flores says, hey, I know there's a couple things here and there, secondary moves, but like I can develop him, I think trusting in Brian Flores is something that would be smart. And it looks like they're going to do that. Are there situations where you could see Dallas Turner, Andrew Van Ginkle, and Jonathan Greenard on the field at the same time?
For sure. Especially with Brian Flores. Now, if I'm happy that it took me a second to remember his name. We're getting far enough away. If Ed Donatell was still the defensive coordinator, the answer would have been no. But with Brian Flores, absolutely. The creativity that he has, and then putting people in we were talking about this, about the way he likes to move people around it, and then the creativity and the way the situation dictates the usage. And the different looks he throws at the offense. Yes, absolutely. You will see those three guys on the field, depending on the situation. Mm-hmm.
What was your thought on the trades as far as there's been? How this? There have been some were very upset.
I'm still happy you're asking.
You can say
about
it. You can say it.
Napoleon Dynamite voice.
If you do the math on the draft value charts,
the thoughts about the Vikings right now have three draft picks for 2025 at this point. Obviously, it's a year away, so you can get plenty more. And the fact that they made trades that essentially are the antithesis of what Kwesi did 3 years ago, right? His first draft, he was very much into acquiring the picks and going back. This time, he does the exact opposite. What say you, a guy that studies this stuff constantly?
So thank you so much for asking this question. I have thoughts.
And we didn't even talk pre-show.
No, we did not.
I tried to call you, but you were still crying. And so I couldn't understand you. So I just hung up my cell phone.
Yeah. I was putting up that poster at JJ right above my bed. Over the one of him in the Michigan jersey. This is the one in the Vikings jersey. Just to set up my response to this, this is coming from a guy, obviously this is my job, but not only that, as far as the draft stuff with the trade charts, everything like that, I have developed my own trade chart, which is a blend of all the three main ones where I leverage the ones that I think are the most, the Rich Hill one I think is the best, but I baked that one in a little bit more. And then I sort of blended it the way that I liked a little bit more, but it's more or less the top three ones that the Spielberg, the hyphenated one is one of the other ones. And then there's a third one, but anyway, I have my own one. And I understand the idea of trade value. I totally get that. And I totally understand the idea of needing prices on assets. Yeah. Nobody understands that idea more than I do. But here's the thing that people need to understand. The draft picks themselves, yes, that they are assets. The prospects are assets as well that have a price, that have a value by that you have assigned based on your board, right? Mm-hmm. They should go here, 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 here. Before the draft, right? Like when you're looking over, you have set your board down, you know, one through whatever, you start to see, oh, this pick here could be more valuable than a traditional trade chart. First of all, like in this range, because of the way that we see the board, that's one example of where you could deviate a little bit off the trade chart in advance of the draft. But in the draft is where you can do it more. And I like there are situations where I'm cool just totally going off if it falls to you correctly. And that's what we had an example of this here. In the days, weeks, months leading up to the draft, if you had told anyone that has my job, or if you had pulled people inside NFL buildings and you had said, Phil, you brought this exact question up before. You say the Vikings come out of Thursday night with J.J. McCarthy and Dallas Turner. What was the cost? And they did so by making two trades. What was the cost of doing that? Mm-hmm. It would be like, well, obviously they gave up the 2025 first. They gave up the 2026 first. They gave up, it would be like, well, they blew up their next two drafts. And it'd be like, no, that's actually, it's not even close to what they gave up, right? Mm-hmm. And so you with the context, it would change some of that stuff. In the moment, what happened last night was two teams made incredibly stupid, egregious decisions on quarterbacks in the top 12, 13?
12,
Yeah, 12. So you had Michael Penn. We don't even have time to get into how stupid that was. Michael Penix going to the Falcons after they had signed Cousins. And then the Bo Nix thing.
Bo Nix 12. Yeah.
Another incredibly just torching a first round pick. But you had those two guys get pulled up into slots. So that was two spots where superior prospects should have gone. Then you had the thing of the league pulling up the offensive line guys, because not only were the offensive line guys at the top good, but there's a big drop off. It's like, you know, again, like considering the context of the exact class that we're in, you had all these awesome, you know, 9.5 was the number on the board of in Vegas for first round offensive line guys. I think we ended with 9. But after that, there's a big qualitative drop off. And then it starts to really shallow out probably third round with offensive linemen where it's going to start to get stinky later on with the offensive line class. Anyway, because of this, those guys got pulled up in the first round. So what do we see? We saw this historical fluke that happened in the first round where the record prior to this was 7 picks, where it was offensive players in the first 7 picks. Mm-hmm. This time it was 14.
It's wild, dude. That's so crazy.
Crazy. So the manifestation of this was all these good defenders got pushed down the board. That opened up the possibility for a clever organization, a clever decision maker to try to strike and steal one of those guys. And that is what happened here. Kwesi saw an opportunity to move back up the board for a Dallas Turner, a guy that should have gone higher. If Terry Fontenot made a rational decision, if Sean Payton made a rational decision, the teams that were doing the offensive line stuff, that I actually get, because that was a three-dimensional chess thing. But again, that is why the circumstance presented itself, and you did not overpay in those trades by the draft equity. By any measure, getting those two prospects at the price point that you did was an enormous steal.
There's a I want to keep going on this price point discussion, because I think it's pretty clear now. I think we know in order the top three quarterbacks on the Vikings board, one of them a current NFL quarterback. We're going to get to that in a second here with our guy, Thor Nystrom. But Dex, let's shout out our friends helping keep your lakeside areas non-murky as we approach the lake and cabin months. Aquaside.
That's right. I see 70 degrees in the forecast here next week. So cabin season is basically upon us. And if you get that dock in and you want to make sure that lake is taken care of, go check out our friends at Aquaside. They'll help diagnose whatever the heck is in that lake or pond for you. And they'll also give you the Aquaside pellets, which are safe products registered with both the EPA and DNR. Shipping is also free on their products. You can go to aquaside.com aquaside.com to learn more. Go to aquaside.com to learn more.
And our friends at AG1, I got to say, this is a lifesaver for me this morning on about 4.5 hours of sleep, adrenaline pumping, but maybe nutrients lacking. AG1 it's been in my repertoire going on, 7 years now, trusted by top athletes all over the world. And guys who talk about top athletes all over the world like me, simple and comprehensive foundational nutrition supplement for whole body health. And AG1 conducts relentless testing to set the standard for purity and potency. In fact, they're constantly searching on how to do things better. 52 different iterations for their formula and counting, because they have an in-house team of scientists, doctors, and nutritionists that are constantly evolving their product. So if you're interested in giving your body the nutrients it needs, AG1, one scoop mixed with your water or one of these travel packs is the answer. Supporting gut health, focus, immune health. So if you want to take ownership of your health, it starts with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/purpledaily. That's drinkag1.com/purpledaily. So you tell me if I'm off base or if it's a hot take here, but I think the Vikings had three options as the smoke cleared when it comes to quarterback. I think the number one option on their board was Drake May. Like, I think they love Drake May, and they thought the footwork and stuff was fixable. And there were multiple reports that they were on the phone with the Patriots aggressively offering compensation packages to move up into the top three. And the Patriots said no to the Vikings. They said no to the Giants and maybe some other teams and said, no, we need Drake May to save our franchise. So I think the Vikings were willing to give up 11, 23, maybe even a future first round pick. And whatever that package was, the Patriots said no. But here's what's interesting. Adam Schefter confirmed the Vikings and the Patriots both made a phone call on Justin Herbert. So Drake May and then the Vikings making that phone call know that it's probably going to cost you the 11, the 23, like at least a couple first round picks and something else. Process the trade after June 1st for cap purposes. And then I think J.J. McCarthy was the next option. And I'm not saying that they didn't love getting J.J. McCarthy, but if it was trade a bunch of first-round picks for Drake May and not get Dallas Turner and maybe not have your 2025 first, maybe trade a similar package for Justin Herbert but take on a gigantic salary, or get J.J. McCarthy basically at slot, rookie-scale contract, and get Dallas Turner and keep your 2025 first-round pick and give up some mid-round picks here and there. But I think those were the three different quarterback scenarios that they were working through here in the past couple of days. Do you think I'm right or off on that?
There's one other thing that Schefter, I think, didn't include in that, which is the other report that a day or two before that the Patriots would consider the trade down further down the board, for instance, to the Vikings slot at 11. But only under the scenario that they had another trade up the board that would guarantee them J.J. McCarthy. And interestingly enough, the Chargers and Jim Harbaugh, they, of course, could have plausibly been involved in something like that. So the discussions with Herbert, you know, that could have been associated as well. The kicking the tires on that thing, it's not the trade with that. It's not plausible with the salary cap. We had talked about this before. It doesn't even matter if Jim Harbaugh, the only thing in the world he wanted was to trade Justin Herbert so that he could draft his son, J.J. McCarthy. Literally because of the salary cap, they would have been in violation of it by doing it, because if they traded Justin Herbert, it would have accelerated something like 90, yeah. What is it?
It would have been like mathematically it would have put them like 50 or something million over the cap for this year. It would have had to be, the trade would have had to have been processed after June 1st. And that's where, like, there's a month gap between the draft and June 1st. So I don't even know how that would work. Is it like a gentleman's agreement and you just hope that nothing weird happens in that month? Logistically, it would have been very difficult, but it's interesting that like teams were calling about it. You know, like it wasn't just a made up internet rumor. It was a thing that was actually being talked about.
Well, for and if you're the there's you know, again, there's a couple different things going on there. If you're the Vikings and you have the quarterback opening, and you know a couple different things. Number one, the sitting Chargers coach is obsessed with one particular quarterback prospect in this class who just won him a national title game. And not only that, turned around his entire program, where instead of potentially getting fired from that program, he is now a legend of it and on Mount Rushmore, and then got the job that he currently has. People forget Michigan was 2-4 the COVID season, and people wanted Jim Harbaugh out. That was when they signed JJ McCarthy.
He took a pay cut, Thor.
A pay cut. And that was the discussion going into the president's room. It, like, coming out of it, it was like, is Jim Harbaugh going to get fired? The resolution was not that, it was the pay cut. And so that's what happened. But then that recruiting class was when JJ McCarthy comes in. Michigan subsequently makes 3 straight college football playoffs, ends with winning it. But I think both, you know, that Harbaugh loves him. So it's like, you know, Jim, would you consider trading Herbert? You know, like, but you know that the math doesn't work on that when you do this. So Jim's like, well, we can't do that. But also in talking with the Patriots, you know, the Patriots, we knew that they would consider it. They were very out there. Kraft had said that they considered trading down. Elliott Wolf had said that. But it turns out they would only trade out of that 3 and go down if they could get back up. And we have very credible reporting on this that for JJ McCarthy. So I think the math on this was the Patriots were basically telling the Vikings, we'll take that trade with you if you give us a great offer. However, we need that second trade back up. You know, they were basically doing what the Cardinals, almost essentially exactly what the Cardinals did last year, trading out of the 3 slot with the Houston Texans, who then moved up to get Will Anderson in their case. The Cardinals go down, but then the Cardinals move back up so they could get offensive tackle from Penn State named Paris Johnson. But this is what, the Patriots would have been attempting to do ostensibly into a slot like the Chargers, or it turns out they could have done it a little bit later. They could have done maybe Titans or the Falcons apparently felt like they had to beat everyone to the punch for Michael Penix, LOL. But you know, something like that. So I think that there was a couple different things going on with those discussions.
ROFL.
Yeah, exactly. Terry Fontenot, what are you doing, bud?
I'm telling you, I said this before. I think they think Arthur Blank is on the verge of death, and so they sign Kirk, and they're like, "Hey, dude, congratulations, you got your quarterback. We're gonna draft one for the future." It's the weirdest thing. It makes no sense.
If they feel like that, I feel like last night might have just pushed them closer.
Well, that's my point. This is the NFL.
If I was that owner, I would be. Everyone would have been fired. It would have. What's that episode of Game of Thrones they call Red Wedding?
Yeah, Red Wedding.
We would have had the Red Wedding this morning.
The Red Wedding. Perfect for the Falcons. Man.
That's
absolutely a perfect title for the Falcons.
Let's do the side street on this real quick here, because it's Thor. Thor has some pent up. I love this. So it's like a 3-month process from the season ending, like the quarterback evaluation process, and the first half is before free agency, like including the combine, and then the second half is a lot of pro day, one on one stuff. What was the order of events for the Falcons? Like, because now there was the report a couple weeks before free agency that Arthur Blank reportedly told his front office, do whatever it takes to get Kirk Cousins. A local plugged-in TV reporter, like the Doogie, Darren Doogie Wolfson of Atlanta, basically said, hey, I'm hearing this from people. And so was it Arthur Blank pushing the Cousins contract? And this is front office and Raheem Morris's way of saying, okay, we're going to go rogue in the draft and get our guy.
But the best
Michael
part
Penix
about,
is our guy.
But the best part about this whole thing is that it leaked out that the Falcons thought Penix was the bee's knees. They thought he was great. And I thought it was a smokescreen. Like, I thought, oh, of course that's leaking out. You know, the Falcons might take a quarterback. Like, this is the height of dysfunction. This is the Washington football team type of dysfunction. Like, this is a mess.
So let me say, first off, and we talked about this vis-a-vis when we were considering the different quarterbacks the Vikings could do. And when it was like, oh, if the Vikings get boxed out of one of the top four quarterbacks, it turns out Penix got into there. But, you know, like the ones that should have been the top four quarterbacks taken, it's like, well, Penix could be one of the fallback options. And we were talking about that of, I had him ranked as an early second round guy on my board. I had him 40th overall. And I told you guys, even if he was taken in the late first round, I wouldn't argue too hard about that. He does have the arm is very, very good on Michael Penix. There's things about his game I like. In terms of, qualitatively, if it's you're asking me, would you rather have Michael Penix at number 8 or rather have Bo Nix at 12? I'm just talking in a vacuum. Definitely Penix. They're both terrible picks, but definitely Penix. But here's the thing. It's not just we're not living in a vacuum. This is a world where there is truth. And there is context, and we're going to give you both right now. The thing with Cousins, it bears mentioning with this, because that's what makes this such a horrid decision that they made last night. So the Cousins thing, I'm totally cool with that, with blank and everything. Like, let's do everything we can to get Cousins. Turns out they did everything and beyond financially, and then they also illegally tampered, which the Vikings probably should have gotten draft pick compensation, although – perhaps the Vikings compensation was literally the Falcons just being like, yeah, JJ, you guys could have JJ. Maybe them taking Michael.
Or is it possible the Vikings know that they're getting, you know, like a kickback in 2025? And that was part of the reason why they felt so comfortable shelling out mid-round picks to move up the board. I wonder if there is some steam.
They do have the comp picks coming next year as well. I would tell some of the people that, you know, as far as the picks traded next year. But fair enough. So you sign Kirk Cousins. None of us had an issue with them signing. Well, we were happy. Everyone
it was great. Here,
as far as from the Vikings perspective. But for those guys, they had an awful starting quarterback, Desmond Ridder. They had to get Desmond Ridder out of there. You sign Kirk Cousins. That's a big time upgrade. So that was good for them. Great. But if that is your organizational strategy, you had this war chest of cap space, which you have decided with this resource, we are going to allocate that into the quarterback position. For the next, 2 years is where that commitment is with Cousins, right? Mm-hmm. Like, can they get out of it after two? Is that what it was?
Yeah. They would owe some dead cap after year two, but yes.
So it's like 2 to 3 year commitment, right? It's like something like that. Yeah. So that's what you've decided to do. So now you have, you know, basically you've wiped away that war chest of that asset in order to take care of that position for 2 to 3 years, depending on how you want to look at it. But now you also had the war chest of your draft equity. You know, which was you were sitting at the 8th slot in all these subsequent rounds, which great. You know, you had the skill guys, you had Bijan, you had Drake London, you had Kyle Pitts. Now you had also solved your quarterback situation for the next 2 to 3 years. Your defense had the holes, edge rusher, cornerback, interior defensive line. But sweet, you're picking with the 8th pick. You have the, 43rd pick. Then you have an early 3rd round pick. So it's great. You can bang those needs out right then. But then you give your monster asset to pick Michael Penix, which not only is at the same position, which is bad enough, and it's not only an egregious reach. Even the guys that were high on him had him in the late first round. Egregious reach even by his most ardent supporters. But it's a profile of a guy who is an egregious reach that makes no sense. In addition, the guy spent 6 years in college. There's no upside to untap there. And now they're talking, you know, you have to sit him on the bench for minimum 2 to 3 years. I mean, what are you going to have Kirk Cousins back up Michael Penix? So Penix is going to back him up for 2 to 3 years. Then that dope Terry Fontenot comes out this morning and says, no. The plan's not for Penix to sit for 2 to 3 years. We plan for him to sit for 4 to 5 years. It's like, you moron. That is the length of the rookie contract. It's Cook. The only value you get at the position of quarterback. That is the cheat code. You literally just admitted the morning after you made that pick to taking a blowtorch to it. What are you doing? That guy needs to be fired right now.
Cook that King is, Thor.
That yes. is awesome. You should have been at the hot mic last night. Hot,
the hot takes mic
last night. It would have been fantastic. Okay, back to McCarthy for a second here now. Since you are the whisperer of this young man, now that he's here, now that the pick is in, what should the expectations be as far as the patience go? Like, because if this is done right, my guess is O'Connell's not going to thrust the kid into a starting role and say, go do it. Like, this whole thing, the advantage is that O'Connell is so good at developing, it appears, quarterbacks. So what in your mind is the ideal situation for how this begins to play out, at least.
Yeah, the when we talk about the quarterbacks in this class, I told you guys I thought Drake May was the guy you had to sit right away to pull out some of those weeds that I think if he's playing week one are going to rear their ugly head. And I said that JJ was the guy that you could start right away, particularly if it was an O'Connell offense because of the similarities from the treetops to the Michigan pro style, the 12 personnel offense that he's coming from. Obviously that the Vikings run the 12 personnel as well. Michigan runs a little bit more on the early downs. The Vikings throw a little bit more on the early downs, but there are a lot of stylistic similarities there. However, I wasn't arguing that you should. I was just saying that you could. Patience absolutely could be exercised with JJ. I think that's one where in training camp, you bring him in and then you see how far you think he's progressed. And then you could have it as a competition, right? With him and Darnold and see how they're doing. But the other point that I made about JJ, like, I don't think it would hurt his confidence at all, to have him out there. But if you believe that it will help his development to go slower initially, and work on some of those things that we had talked about during his process, to me, the biggest things with JJ, they were these slight mechanical tweak things that we were talking about. You guys remember when we were talking about the modifications he was making to get a more loft on those downtown balls that we saw at the combine, we saw at his pro day. We saw a little bit more in the latter half of the season that he was making some of those modifications. Another one was the elongated step into the throw that we like when he's the hurler coming over the top on the intermediate throws. You love that because he always gives you the full extension, even when a guy's about to blast him in the face. Like one of my favorite things about that kid, he'll take the shot every single time. But that he one just very minor nuance of a tweak to make with him is sometimes that was carrying over to throws to the left sideline where it was also like we could just use a little slight half of a beat of turning your body that away. And then, the full step over that away, whereas he was swinging the full body and then throwing that way, and it was causing a slight errancy like that. There's just these little tweak here, little tweak there. The thing of the people were getting on him about lingering on the first read. That was something that was an issue early on in 2022. Keep in mind, the kid was a 19-year-old at that time. This past year, he was 20. He had gotten better at that this past season, and particularly is really good at it when he's scrambling around. It's a part of his game that you don't see with younger quarterbacks. But that thing is getting better and better and better. But it still could. He's very early on in that developmental curve. But that's something else, you can keep working on. But if they feel like they will get better gains with that in, say, September, early October, with that plan of going slower, absolutely, you could do that. And then Sam Darnold, you could give him a shot to be the starter early on. But, in Dallas Turner, we talked about this too. You could put both those guys sort of early on in the season, just go a little bit slower and try to do their development that way. But the ceiling on both those guys, McCarthy and Turner, is just so, so high.
Yeah. Listen, we want to, in our last few minutes here on this live episode here, which there are over 4,000 of you right now hanging out with us, just skipping out on work on the Purple Daily YouTube channel.
I forgot we were even live. That's actually crazy. Yeah, we usually watch it. That's crazy.
We usually pre-record these with Thor, but we're live on Fridays here. But if you could click the like button and the subscribe button, if you haven't already, on the Purple Daily YouTube channel, you can help us continue to grow the show. A couple notes here before we want to ask you about if the next pick for the Vikings is day three, fourth round through seventh round. Float a few names to us here in a minute, Thor. But later on today, a couple things of note. Off the podcast, but inside 3JAC, it's going to be the Purple Daily Day 2 Happy Hour, where we're going to gather from 3 until 5 o'clock p.m. in the North Loop, Minneapolis at 3JAC to just cheers a couple of drinks, enjoy some of the great food on the 3JAC menu. You can call ahead and reserve a golf simulator bay if you want to, but we're looking forward to just hanging out with you guys and talking about what happened last night, one of the most exciting nights in Vikings draft history. We do ask that you register, even though it's a free cover to get in, but we're capping it at 200 for capacity reasons at scorenorth.com/happyhour, scorenorth.com/happyhour. We're going to be at 3JAC. And then at 6 p.m., live on the Purple Daily YouTube channel, Judd and I are going to hang out. Even if the Vikings don't have a pick tonight, we're going to hang out for an hour, maybe hour and a half, and just talk Vikings as the second round of the NFL draft starts up. So feel free to join us tonight and talk some more Vikings here. So also, Dex, our friends at the Meadows at Mystic, it's kind of not really like a golf day today, but plenty of great golfing days on the horizon at the Meadows.
Exactly. Yeah, we got some nice weather coming up here. I even met some fans last night at the draft party, said they had tee times booked for next week, this coming week at the Meadows at Mystic Lake. So shout out to all the Purple Daily listeners who are obviously living in Minnesota or the Midwest area that have played the Meadows, and maybe you are still in town, you're looking for something to do, or the next time you want to come back into town, go play the Meadows at Mystic Lake. You can book that tee time at golfthemeadows.com. Whether you're breaking 80 or shooting 110 and having a blast like me, they welcome all types of golfers. So go to golfthemeadows.com to book your next tee time.
So Thor, in the last few minutes here, give us some names to keep an eye on. And we did a 7-round mock simulation on Thursday, yesterday morning, and we've done a bunch of these. But just now that you've seen the first couple of picks here, who do you like that might still be on the board as the Vikings make the rest of their picks, possibly on Saturday?
Yeah, I have to say about the, you know, I last night when I finally got off, you know, our stream, and then, you know, I wound down, I needed a, you know, cold shower, walk around the block, whatever. And I finally got into my DMs, which were just packed, and maybe some of the 4,000 people out there, a couple of them maybe were, you know, had sent me, so I got some very nice DMs. One of them, though, gave me a chuckle, and it was about the mock drafts that we do. It was someone who had sent one at, like, it was something like noon yesterday, and he was like, you moron. He goes, all you do every single time in those mock drafts is take J.J. McCarthy. He goes, you idiot, we're going to go up to number two and take Jaden Daniels. Why don't you have some, am I allowed to say balls? He goes, why don't you have some balls one time and take Jaden Daniels instead of doing what you do every single time?
Yeah.
So
I had to write
back to that guy and said, my brother, I dropped a penny out of a helicopter and dropped it into a cup every one of those mock drafts in the first round for 2 months. So I'll do that instead of having balls, I guess.
That's the thing. It's like, you don't have the cojones to move up. It's like, well, it's not up to the Vikings. That's the thing. At the end of the day, it was not up to the Vikings whether they picked second or third. It was up to the Commanders and Patriots.
For sure.
Period.
It is what it is. Absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah, so obviously today, the fireworks for us happened last night. And I would assume that the Vikings will not pick tonight. Like, I don't assume that there will be a sort of trade-up because you now lack equity. In fact, I'll go further than that. I would not advocate that they trade into today.
They should probably trade back from the 108, quite frankly, right? Agreed.
Yeah. I mean, where are you going to draw the draft equity to trade into today? So, like, everybody take tonight off. Celebrate. In fact, the three-jack thing, you guys brought that up initially. I was like, that thing is either going to be like the vibe will either be like a funeral or else it's going to be a raucous celebration, depending on how the night before went. And I am so happy that it is going to be the latter. That is going to be so fun based on what happened last night. So happy, you know, with how everything went down. So for Saturday now with the Vikings pick allocation and potential guys that could be there. Obviously, I am projecting, you know, we'll have to see what happens tonight. But at the positions the Vikings still need, a couple guys to look at, interior defensive line, still a position in need, obviously. Couple guys who on talent should go tonight but might fall through the cracks because of a couple different reasons. Mason Smith from LSU on talent, he's a top 40 prospect. In fact, on talent, he probably should have gone last night. But has had sort of a star-crossed career, and because of that, he might fall into round four. If he does, he absolutely would fit the Viking system, and you could play him across the front of Flores runs. I mean, he could play really any of those positions. He's a guy a shade over 6'5", 306 pounds, 85th percentile athlete. Guy's a stupid athlete, and he's the lank guy, you know, the super ropey arms on that guy as well. Very inconsistent during his career, but he's the ball of clay type guy in this class, in the interior defensive line class that falls off quickly. You know, we were talking about that with Byron Murphy. Yeah. And speaking of Byron Murphy, the other interior defensive lineman I was going to advocate was the guy that played next to him last year. And in fact, was the guy that won the Outland Trophy last season, won the awards instead of Byron Murphy. And that's Tavondre Sweat, who we touched on a little bit.
We call him Tavondre Sweat It Out now, actually.
Exactly. Yes. And that's the reason that he might be falling down was the DWI from, what was it, 3-4 weeks ago. How comfortable are teams with that and with the way that he responded to the people inside the Vikings building? If they're comfortable enough, there is that shot that he gets down into the fourth round because of both that, team's trepidations about that, but also while Tavondre Sweat is going to be a dominant run stuffer in the NFL and a linebacker's best friend because he will occupy two guys, every single two offensive linemen. So those Ivan Pace, this would be Ivan Pace's best friend. Ivan Pace will never get touched again by an interior offensive lineman. He'd just be zipping, sideline to sideline, free, running free in the fields. Tavondre Sweat, 6'4" 366 pounds of meat.
Bring it on.
Of beef. So that guy, just the total run stuffer guy, and not a bum of an athlete either, considering he's 366 pounds, 43rd percentile athlete. So that would be the other guy I would toss out, you know, as far as the guys that could fall into the early part of Saturday. The other position I would consider earlier on Saturday, the interior offensive line. We've talked about this. I would love to try to pop someone early on Saturday that could potentially compete for an early starting job, because I like the idea of then you have a decent backup. I don't like the idea right now that it's Ingram and Brendel, and then you don't really have anyone backing them up that you can trust either. I would like one other guy to start there, and then, you know, those two guys can duke it out for another spot, or have three guys in a three-way competition. A guy that I really like, I don't know how the NFL sees him because he kind of has a weird eval, but I totally see him as a guard, and I think he's underrated, is Brandon Coleman from TCU.
Okay.
He may go tonight because the tools suggest that he should, but because of the eval, he could fall into Saturday. But he's 6'4" 313 pounds, and 99th percentile plus size-adjusted athleticism on that kid. He almost got a 10 RAS. The reason that he might fall down is he was a tackle at TCU, but I think he's going to play guard in the NFL. He played a little bit of guard at TCU, but was a tackle at the very end. And he got a late start to football because his father was deployed in the service in Germany. So Brandon Coleman grew up in Germany, got a late start to football. When he did, you know, when he moved to America, started off in football, it turned out he was in these huge physical dimensions and he was a stud of an athlete. And so he took very quickly to offensive line play. And a very good interior offensive line projection to the NFL. I think he's going to be a very good guard. Another guy, another athletic interior offensive lineman, guard projection, Mason McCormick from South Dakota State.
Yeah, yeah.
6'4", 309 pounds, and another 99th percentile athlete. We know that they like those athletic offensive linemen. The Vikings do their system. Then one other guy that could be available will be available on a sticker price discount is Zach Zinter from Michigan because of the injury that he suffered. Kind of reminds me of Andrew Voorhees from last year, who was a decorated collegiate offensive lineman, but because of an injury he suffered the year before, fell all the way down to, I believe, the seventh round, if I'm remembering right, the Ravens. I don't know that Zinter falls all the way down there because with Voorhees, we knew he was going to miss the whole rookie season. With Zinter, there's a shot that, like, he'll be back for September based on the timeline of his recovery. The doctors at the Vikings would have to fully vet that and whatnot. But Zinter was amazing in college. So you can get him on a sticker price discount. When he's healthy, he might be the best guard that the Vikings would have on their roster. So he would be another guy I'd consider.
Love it, dude. Great list.
Football.
That's Thor Nystrom, you guys. Just a fantastic 24 hours here in Vikings world. And now it's going to be fun because now we get to watch.
Jared Allen's mad. He just called me. Pissed at you.
I love you, Jared. I love you.
Said, how dare you denigrate his
Hall of Famer. Yeah.
It's one of my, I think I have five Vikings jerseys. So, Jared, if you're out there, I'm so sorry. I love you. But, you know, I had, it was a tribute. And I hope Jared Allen's going to love JJ too.
Yeah. By the way, we can, we got to get one of these for Thor here. Your official Purple Daily JJ to JJ.
Oh, yeah. T-shirts, yes,
hooded sweatshirts.
Yep.
Available at scorenorth.com/shop. Scorenorth.com/shop. Yeah, man. Hey, thank you so much. We'll, let's connect. We'd love to continue to make you a part of the show here, even though draft season's coming to an end. And so we can figure out sort of schedule wise how we make that work. But, you've just been awesome this whole stretch and our audience loves you and we appreciate you being part of the Purple Daily Club, man. Thor Nystrom from Fantasy Pros and Betting Pros.
thanks so much, boys. And now that we have JJ McCarthy in our lives as Vikings fans for the next decade, maybe you just give me an hour daily stream. We'll just call it the JJ McCarthy hour. And I'll just
watch idea, poetic actually.
To JJ.
It's not a terrible idea. In fact, let's do that.
JJ, still love you. Day 14.
If you're looking for a guy to break a Super Bowl curse, by the way, and I'll just toss this out there in closing, you might want to look at a guy who went 63-3 since high school as a starter. Yeah. Two state titles. One of them was a national title in high school. I'm talking about made a third state title game in high school that he did not win. Then, of course, won the national title in college. This is a very good fit. This is an exciting time to be a Viking.
A bit different than the winning reference points of the previous quarterback, which were not quite as lofty. Outback, no disrespect to the Outback Bowl, but not quite the same. So, all right, guys, that's a wrap here on this. It was a feedback Friday, but we just turned it over to Thor here, and we appreciate him. It was Thor's feedback.
And I gave some feedback
Friday.
To Terry Fontenot. So I hope
he did.
That was a great meltdown.
In fact, here it was. That's a wrap here. Purple Daily. We'll be back live on the Purple Daily YouTube channel at 6 p.m. Central Time on this Friday night. We just want the Vikings to win a Super Bowl before we die, JJ.
And we're going to get one.